Actress Mary Louise Parker is probably best known for her role on Showtime's Weeds, portraying Nancy Botwin. She received the Golden Globe Award for Best Actress for that part. Parker has appeared in such films and TV programs as Red, Fried Green Tomatoes, Boys on the Side, The West Wing, and Angels in America, for which she received a Golden Globe and an Emmy Award for Best Supporting Actress. She's also the recipient of a Tony for Best Actress for her performance in the Broadway play Proof. She has now written a book. It is a book of letters. She's written more than 30 to some of the men who've been important in her life. The grandfather she never got the chance to know, her childhood priest, a Hollywood accountant, a man who will one day love her daughter, her father. They're all in the new book, Dear Mr. You. It's just out in paperback, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Mary Louise Parker to this morning's roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you.
Thank you for talking to me.
Very nice to have you here. So this book is written as a series of letters to the men who have made a significant impact in your life. What led you to that idea?
I wrote for Esquire for a number of years. One of the assignments that I had, it was actually given to me more than once, was can you write about men for our, you know, how to be a better man issue? Because I wrote for about 15 years. There's one year in particular I was like, you know what, that's a little bit broad, but I'm going to try again. I just remember saying to my my friend, who was my editor at the time, became my friend, I don't see how I'm going to finish this in the amount of time that you are allotting me with that amount of words. And he was like, just try and no finger wagging. And I said, why would I be finger wagging? Who loves men more than me? And he said, whatever. And he kind of hung up. And I remember hanging up the phone and just sitting there. And it just poured out of me immediately. I didn't even get up. And it came out in letter form. And I believe in the issue in the magazine, it was called Dear You, To Whom It May Concern. And it was what is the invocation now at the very beginning of the book. And I loved writing it. I just loved that I could summon all those memories. And it was I was really interested in what came back. You know, it was surprising that, you know, it was like you who carried me to the ER and that guy at the concession stand. And I loved that they were all meshed up together. And in the end, of course, they just sort of went right to my dad. I just loved writing that piece. And when I wanted to write something more lengthy, because, you know, magazines are much more limited now in pages and things. And I always wanted to write a book. I went back to that. And I tried first with writing about my accountant, Dear Abraham, and then went from there.
That idea of being interested in what comes back, were you always surprised by what came back, or sometimes did you know and it was just a way of exploring and how to tell it?
That's a very good question. What was interesting to me also was people I was sure I wanted to write about, and then the letter wouldn't happen. I'm very close to Hunter Parrish, who played my son on Weeds. We were really, really close.
Yes.
And I thought, certainly I can't have a book without Hunter in it. And it was almost as though I would sit down and that letter wouldn't happen. And I feel like there's something for me to write about Hunter within in my life that hasn't happened yet. But almost in a way, Hunter and I have said everything to each other. And then there were some that seemed to write themselves, like their neighbor, who I haven't known as long. Or Dear Doctor, who I got sick while writing the book. So that I wasn't counting on writing at all. But I almost died when I was writing the book, so it sort of, which has kind of slowed down my process a little bit. But it gave me that letter, which I was really grateful for. And I was able to meet this amazing man, this doctor, who actually wrote me a letter back called Dear Patient, which is kind of really sweet. I've gotten a lot of letters back from people.
Even, let's use Dear Doctor as an example for a moment. Is that something that you can write as it's happening, or does it really have to happen in reflection?
Again, that's really intuitive of you, because what happened was I started it while I was in the hospital, and what I ended up with was a very different letter. And I think because I didn't have the distance in it, and I was still kind of high from that experience of almost dying, and, you know, so certain I would never, a crossword would never pass my lips again, and, you know, all of that. But what I ended up with was something else because it was such a fresh experience. The two that went through the most iterations were Dear Cerberus and Dear Doctor. I think because Dear Doctor was so fresh and because Cerberus felt so ambitious, I almost felt like it could have been its own book in a way. And the first draft was so horrible. It was such a mess, but I did have a great time writing it. And it's a little harrowing in places, but I really honestly laughed so much when I was writing it.
Do you think all of the people that you write letters to, do they necessarily know it's to them?
Well, the ones that I felt, well, first of all, the ones who were living, I gave them their letters, you know,
okay.
Dear Miss Girl, Dear Doctor, Dear Abraham, Dear Neighbor, and they were all so grateful, and it made me so happy to be able to do that, to give these little tributes. And, you know, then there were those people whose names I didn't know and people who I don't know where they are now and people whose identity I obfuscated intentionally so as not to hurt anyone. You know, there's one letter that's a bit passionate and I wanted to sort of, you know, put a little veil over that because I didn't want someone's current partner to feel, you know, slighted by it or something like that. If something's romantic like that, or if something was ugly, I didn't want to indict anyone, you know. So there is a fair amount of invention when it pleased me to write it, when I thought it would help tell the story better, or when I wanted to conceal someone's identity. But the ones that are more straightforward, like Dear Abraham, that's exactly, you know, pretty much as I remember it. Obviously, I was asleep, so I don't know if he ate saltine crackers or not, but it pleased me to write it, and it was a way of describing him that is succinctly and perfectly that man. I used the crackers to do it, although I was not witness to him eating crackers, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense. It seems as though there is more of a thank you and a cordial quality than any bitterness or agenda that you have in the letters.
Yeah, I wanted it to be a book about gratitude, and I didn't want there to be anything that anyone could explicitly take away as, like I said, like an indictment of someone or an attack on someone or a spite to spite anyone. I think there's kind of enough of that in the world as there is, and you know, forgiveness and gratitude are conversations that I try to start with myself every day. And even if I get lost, I try to go back to them. I think I think where I fail, I don't know about you or other people, is I think when I was younger, I thought forgiveness was kind of a decision that you made. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Love or what you're having for lunch or something, even more banal. But I realize now as I'm older that for me it's more of a conversation and a relationship that I have to continue. I have to keep fueling and I have to keep weeding it and looking at it in order for it to stay true. Maybe other people can just say, I forgive that person and it's over. But my mind has more of a recursive quality to it, mm-hmm. You know, and I tend to reexamine things. And I have to keep reminding myself of things because I want to be a grateful person for my children and for myself.
And with that, there comes an empathy and an empathy to men, which there often isn't.
Someone mentioned that last night and I did an event that was so lovely. It was such a nice evening. And somebody said that they felt like men were getting kind of a bad, you know, that sometimes I do, someone will say, what's your book about? And I'll say men. And if it's a man, they'll go, oh, no, you know, like with some amount of fear or defensiveness. And I say, no, it's a tribute, you know, it's a love letter. It's a Valentine. There's a million ways to tell that story or to tell my relationship to men or what's happened in my life. And I wanted to tell it this way. For my son, you know, I have a 12-year-old boy. Why would I write it any other way? And for my daughter as well, and how I want her to experience the world. And, you know, it's never too late to sort of adjust your lens or move over here to have a different vantage point at the to the past, you know. Sometimes I have to keep moving around on the mountain to see what I'm staring at in the distance, but I keep working at it, as we all do, I guess.
Sure. There's also what I really appreciated in the book is that there is, by not always naming names and being on the periphery of, let's say, for want of a better term, gossip, that you're able to tell how you feel and what happened without being direct, that there is an abstract quality to it that seems quite lovely.
Thank you. A man told me recently, and men have been great, when I wrote the book, they said, you realize men aren't going to read your book. And I was sort of crestfallen, you know. I was devastated, you know. What do you mean they're not going to read my book? And the men who have read it have been so kind. And one man said he felt like because he didn't know specifically who people were, he could project his own experience onto it in a better way. I like that. And also the times when I did, you know, there is a pseudonym or a code name or whatever, that was partly a creative thing that I liked doing. Because when I was writing the letter to Popeye, for instance, I just in that instance, when I was writing the first draft, I didn't want to use his name, and I came up with Popeye not even thinking about it, and later I went, and he does like spinach, you know, and it's funny. And I just, it was really kind of, and thinking of Cerberus, you know, which was at first a dragon, and my son insists now that he knows far more about mythology than I do, and that the dog was his idea, but I don't quite remember that, but it was fun to come up with, you know, what Leviathan, that, like, what monster that would be, and to make myself so pure and so above reproach and so, like, almost a cartoon heroine in a way, that I was completely pure and this was a big monster, which then allowed for the irony of the story, so it could also be funny, you know, because if it had been sort of in earnest, I think it would have been, like, it was asking for sympathy, or I just think it would have been a little indulgent. Do you know what I mean? To write that story,
yes,
from a lucid, straightforward point of view. And it was so much more fun to make it a dog. It was like, I loved that part of it. But then there are little things within that story that are completely true. Like I say, her daughter brought her little words on scraps of paper. And there was one day when I had been writing all the time, and my daughter said, what do you do when you push that button? And I said, well, I'm checking word count, honey. She was like, what for? And I said, every once in a while when I'm writing, I'm just curious how many words. She said, do you have to have a certain amount? And I said, well, ultimately, I'm going to have a certain amount. And she came in like an hour, and she had all these little pieces of paper folded up, and she said, I brought you some words, Mommy.
Mm.
And she handed me these little pieces of paper, and she'd like written down words. She said, so you can get more words. So sweet. So there are some things that seem poetic that actually came straight out of or sprung from life, you know?
It seems like there are those moments of life, trials and tribulations that we all have, that you use for perspective, and then from perspective to actual momentum to do something else.
Yeah, I do think that's true. And I think that was and sort of unexpected little present I got writing it, because I didn't expect that. I really, when I first started, you know, and I wrote Dear Abraham to my beloved accountant, I just wanted to capture that relationship because it's so central to my life, and he's so special, and I adore him, and I just think he's so unique, and we have such a funny relationship. And the first day I met him, I had no money and fell asleep on his couch. And there just seemed to be many moments like that that were much more interesting to me to tell than some of the more obvious ones that came up and then just didn't yield much prose at all. And some of the ones like Cerberus or Doctor in particular, I felt after reading it or even writing it, I felt that I had sort of gotten somewhere, that I had moved across something, and writing the last one, I felt I had summoned my father for a little moment and brought him back to me for a little moment, and I was a really profound gift that I had from writing it.
There is, of course, your children, and you also are animals in nature are close to you as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You have goats.
I have goats. I know. I just saw that goat that the that chapter's about, Dear Jem, a couple weeks ago, and he just has such his face just has such an effect on me, and it was so funny. It's so funny now to see him after sort of bringing him to life in that story and that whole experience, which my neighbor and I talk about all the time, of when we dehorned him, and it was just such drama. You know, my son was screaming, running circles around the Kubota, and his daughter was in a bee suit, you know, because she thought this is going to be bloody, so she went in and put on a bee suit, and it was just, the whole thing was so, it was like a Fellini film somehow. But I have come to animals sort of later in my life. Some animals I think I was afraid of when I was younger. But I had that experience due to meeting this man who's my neighbor and who's, you know, we've buried a couple of cows last month, and it's he's changed my life in the ways that, different from other men in the book, but really deep and really profound ways, and completely unexpected. We grew up in such different ways in such different places, and he's my friend. And I have always been a woman that's had very, very strong male friendships with straight men as well as gay men. You know, it's more common to have gay male friends, I guess, but I have so many wonderful straight male friends, and it's just, I don't know, those friendships really are so important to me and feed me in a different way than my female friendships.
You mentioned something that just struck me when you were saying about that perhaps in having animals young, that perhaps you were afraid of them, but do you find that you have, that there's still perhaps, I guess we all have fear in our life at some point, but that you have as much fear in your life because you seem to be very at peace with the various aspects of what we live through day in, day out?
I strive for that, you know. I would say there are certain areas of my life where people say, my gosh, you're so fearless. In ways that I don't even consider bravery to be part of the equation, the things that seem natural to me. And then other ways where I feel like, oh, God, I need somebody to hold my hand through this, and it's something pure, you know, simple. I'm terrified to drive a car, for instance, you know. But there are other things that are really easy for me, and, you know, not easy, but easier. And I grew up a very fearful, very awkward child, and I needed to act. I needed to act to be able to speak to people. And writing was something I always did, and acting was something I sort of needed to do. And I feel like I'm super hard on myself. Well, I know that I am. I kind of feel like I might be getting better at being a person. And I know that I have such a long way to go, but I think I might be getting better at it. And I do think so much of it has to do with giving yourself a break, giving other people a break, and knowing it's not too late to do that, even if your impulse the first time is not the best.
Well, the name of the new book is Dear Mr. You. It is out in paperback from Scribner. Mary Louise Parker, thank you so much for being with us. A delight to have you on the program.
Thank you for your excellent questions, too. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Okay. Again, the name of the book, Dear Mr. You, by Mary Louise Parker, published by Scribner. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.